The Best in Class podcast looks back today on the NFC South draft. All of the Buccaneers, big rivals in there. Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, breaks it down. Enjoy it. It's quick. It's detailed. It's informative. It's Sean Sullivan, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. I am Sean Sullivan, and I am going to take you through the best 30 minutes in the NFL, and you're going to really enjoy this. We're going to break down the NFC South draft, starting with the Atlanta Falcons. But first, a word from our sponsor. Please visit BillCurryFord.com. See all of our amazing specials. We have June, so enjoy a vacation from high interest rates and payments with no payments through summer at Bill Curry Ford. Right now, we have discounts up to $20,000 and up to 130% of Kelley Blue Book. So lots of great stuff going on. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook, X, and Instagram. Also, very exciting news. We have a new accessory program called Bill Curry Ford Upfit. And basically, we're an upfitters, and we're going to be able to create all kinds of amazing Roush, Ford Racing, rims, tires, lifts, we can lower vehicles. We have a one-on-one right now RTR supercharged Mustang that was just built in our shop. It's amazing. And you can check that out at BillCurryFord.com under the accessory department. Very exciting stuff, so please check it out. We're going to get started here. I want to remind everyone that the NFC South Bucks are not going to be part of this. I did a separate one-hour long breakdown of all of the Bucks picks. Please check it out at Best in Class and on Joe Bucks Fan. But here we go. So Atlanta Falcons are getting a lot of heat, obviously, with their number one pick, which was eighth overall, which was Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. If you listen to my breakdown on Best in Class for quarterbacks, you'll understand how much I liked Michael Penix. Knew he was going to be a first-round draft pick. I could not understand why people were so negative on him. And then, of course, NFL teams weren't. It was more just pundits taking shots. So I'm not upset at the Atlanta Falcons. I think that quarterback position is the most important position in the NFL. Last year, the Atlanta Falcons had a playoff team, I think a playoff roster, without a quarterback. They have a lot of pieces on offense and defense, and I think they went out and signed a very productive veteran quarterback, and then when they had the opportunity to draft a future quarterback, they took it. There's several reasons why the Penix pick makes sense to me. I don't care about the signing of Kirk Cousins and the money they promised him. I could care less, because I think fans get so worked up on salary cap and how much money a player is making. It makes no difference as a fan. All we want is good people on our team. And if you think about it, if Kirk Cousins doesn't come back from his ACL 100%, they have an insurance policy in Michael Penix Jr. If he does come back and plays well and takes him to the playoffs, they can ride Cousins for as long as he's hot until he's not. And then they have a young man sitting in the wing. I've heard all this debate about why give him all this money. I say, what does the salary cap have to do? Are the Atlanta Falcons in salary cap hell? They're not. Why is everybody obsessed with you shouldn't assign Kirk Cousins if you're going to draft Michael Penix? That's a ridiculous conversation. Why is it a problem to have a now quarterback and a future quarterback on your roster? Also, if the Atlanta Falcons believe that Kirk Cousins is the answer at quarterback and they actually make the playoffs in 2024, they're not going to have a high pick in the upcoming years. They're basically saying we're going to be a playoff team moving forward, and we're not going to be able to get somebody like Michael Penix Jr. in the next several years. And this is the same conversation I had with Bucks fans about Jason Light, that this was a quarterback draft. I talked about it 6 months ago, that this would be the greatest quarterback draft in NFL history. It turned out that, yes, six quarterbacks were taken in the first 12 picks, which was an NFL record. I was correct. So I want you to understand, I would not have had a problem with Jason Light reaching for a quarterback. Now, they went higher than everyone expected, true. But the Raiders, you know, were completely stunned when Michael Penix went off the board at 8. If the Atlanta Falcons didn't draft Michael Penix at 8, they would not have been able to get him. The Raiders would have got him at 12. Instead, the Raiders, who, by the way, said they flipped a coin and took Brock Bowers, who was, I think, is a sensational wide receiver slash tight end. I don't just look at him as a tight end. I think he's a weapon. But anyway, I'm all for Michael Penix Jr. being drafted at 8th overall. I'm all for the Atlanta Falcons drafting him and securing the most important position in football. Just because you have a starting quarterback does not mean that you pass on Patrick Mahomes, which is what a lot of teams did when I believe that they probably would have drafted him, even with their starters at the time, had they known he was Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying that Michael Penix is. What I'm saying is Aaron Rodgers fell. You know, Patrick Mahomes falls. All of these teams are like, oh, they're not quarterback teams. We don't need a quarterback because we have a starter coming off a good year. It means absolutely nothing to me. If you have an opportunity to get a player that's that high up on your board and you think Michael Penix is a franchise-chasing QB, then why on earth would you not draft him when you have the opportunity? So, and they didn't even have to trade up to get him. They didn't have to trade up like the 49ers gave up 3 number one picks to draft Trey Lance. The Chicago Bears gave up 3 number one picks to draft, I've already forgotten his name. That's how relevant he is. The North Carolina quarterback that ended up throwing 6 touchdowns against the Bucs defense, and that was the best game of his career. But it's really interesting. So I'm not going to say that the Atlanta Falcons did anything wrong with Michael Penix. This is where, for me, the rest of the draft is awful. And just the value in the picks. And I'm going to go through that. I don't grade drafts. I rate them as far as what I think, you know, did you get the most players for your team? Did you get the most starters in your positions? I like to rank them by potential starters. But in the second round, 35 overall, they got Rook Arororo out of Clemson, the 35th overall pick. There were 2 defensive tackles on the board that are better by far. And I'm not talking about a little, but by far better player. And I don't understand drafting him at 35. I thought he was more of a 3rd or 4th round pick. I know a lot of teams were looking at him, but, you know, not as an impact starter. If the 35th pick, which is, you know, obviously 3 picks into the second round, it's almost a first round draft pick. You have to look at this as, is this guy a difference maker? And can is he going to, you know, eat up snaps? I don't know. I think this was a reach. On the 3rd round, 74th pick overall, they picked Braylon Trice out of Washington, a tweener linebacker, edge rusher. I wasn't a huge fan. Also, I thought he was drafted too high at 74th overall pick. I think there were better players on the board. I'm kind of just at a loss for the Arororo and the Trice. It's like the guys fell in love with players that they wanted, and they're like, we're just going to pick him wherever we want. But I just don't think they got the talent that they think they got in these guys. 4th overall pick at 109, they picked defensive lineman Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon. He's a backup defensive lineman. He's a great against a run. He's going to eat up some snaps. So that doesn't bother me as much. He also had 46 QB pressures. It's weird when you're looking at sack totals and you don't see his sack totals. And you're like, if you're just looking on the surface, Dorlus doesn't look like a great pick. But if you actually break it down, this guy has a chance to stick in the NFL. The really interesting thing about him is 134 total pressures in his college career, which was number one at the position. It just didn't translate into sacks. I'm scratching my head on Arororo and Braylon Trice. And then 5th overall, 143, they pick linebacker J.D. Bertrand out of Notre Dame. Solid backup linebacker. I think he's a special teams guy. That they picked in the first in the 5th round might have a chance at being an okay linebacker, but I think he's just a backup for me. And the 6th round, 186, they picked Chase McCollum, running back, Alabama. In the 6th round, you can't go wrong with an Alabama running back. They're highly recruited. The guy never fumbled. He had 350 carries. He had 49 missed tackles, which is terrific. He's just in a stable of running backs. But if you think about what Atlanta has in the running back room with Bijan, Tyler Allgeier, and now they added McClellan, I'm just thinking to myself, what a solid running back room. It's completely different than the Bucs as far as trying to run the ball. But Bijan Robinson is very, very special. Tyler Allgeier has proven to be a Pro Bowl running back, and now they added, you know, what I think in the 6th round is a great opportunity to see what this guy can do. I just think that Alabama running backs in the 6th round is a steal. So I kind of like this pick. 187 and then another 6th round pick, Casey Washington out of Illinois. The issue with this guy is he's more of a blocker than a wide receiver. You know, to me, this Michael Clayton kind of deal always makes me think about it. You know, like, okay, when we signed Michael Clayton as Bucs, they always said, oh, he's a great blocker. Well, that's what Washington is. He's a great blocker. I don't have no idea what kind of receiver he is. I didn't think he was very good. I think this was a reach, but I think they were looking for some more special teams players. Six pick 197 is interior defensive lineman Zion Log out of Georgia. It's very strange that they drafted three interior linemen. So they really wanted, the coaching staff really wanted to upgrade their defensive line. This guy's just a big clog run defender. I don't know if he's going to get snaps as a rookie, but he's a guy that obviously they wanted to triple up on defensive linemen and defensive lineman rotation. Well, they got three young guys that are going to do that. But overall, Atlanta's entire draft with Michael Penix, Arojo, Trice, Dorless, Bertrand, McClellan, Washington, and Logue. I mean, when you look at this, a lot of these guys are just reaches, and there's a lot of hope on these guys where I feel like the positions that the Atlanta Falcons had, especially with the 35th overall pick and the 74th overall pick, they had a chance to really impact their team, and I believe they drafted backups. Penix was the only pick that I understood in this entire draft. Moving on to the Carolina Panthers, who, by the way, have a new offensive, took our offensive coordinator as their new head coach, obviously. I'm sure all Bucks fans know that. And then the fact that, you know, they missed on C.J. Stroud, which to me will be the worst mistake in Carolina Panthers history. It still shocks me. The 32nd overall pick, they drafted Xavier Leggett, a wide receiver out of South Carolina. I really like Leggett. The problem that about Leggett is that he's not a terrific route runner. He's more of just of like a physical wide receiver, tall, big, strong, great speed. I thought he definitely deserved to be in the first round conversation. I know he had some off the field stuff going on that maybe he dropped a little bit more. He's a little bit more of a raw prospect. And, you know, it's interesting that the Carolina Panthers drafted him because they're going to have a chance to wait on him to develop. They don't need him to be a superstar right away. And I think that he's going to surprise a lot of people with the ball down the field. But here's my thing. Does the Carolina quarterback, does he even have the ability to throw downfield? You know, this was my thing about him last year was we discussed the fact that the majority of all of his passes were 7 yards or less at Alabama. And he, you know, we're going to see if based on his height and his size and you know, the offensive and defensive linemen didn't get shorter in the NFL. We're going to see if he has an opportunity to throw the ball downfield. That's going to be, you know, really on the offensive system and how they're going to come up with it. Jonathan Brooks is a stud running back coming off a terrible injury from Texas. They drafted him as the number one running back that went in the draft, 46th overall in the second round. Absolutely love this guy. Coming off an ACL, though, that's the problem. You know, every single time we talk about ACL, we talk about it takes 2 years to recover. You know, you have Chris Godwin coming back, and everybody's saying how he looks terrific this offseason. You know, he's another year removed from his injury. That's a big deal, but this is a serious ACL injury that he had, and he's a powerful runner. He has great size, great speed, great strength. He had great agility. We're going to see what he is. I think maybe at 46 that this is a reach because a lot of the other running backs in this class didn't go until the bottom of the third round, fourth round. They started going out, and I feel like there was an opportunity for even the Panthers to get him at 72. Instead of 46 and got more defensive help or another offensive lineman. We'll see how Jonathan Brooks is coming back from the injury, but if he's healthy, he's a solid, solid running back, and he's going to give them a big lift at that position if he's healthy. In the third round, 72, they picked Trevon Wallace, a linebacker out of Kentucky. This is about where I had him going in the third round. Coverage linebacker, a little on the smaller side, super athletic. I feel like, you know, he really didn't come alive until like the last few games before the NFL draft. And then you saw what he did in the Senior Bowl practices. You know, there was a lot of things that he can do well, but I think he's going to have to add some size and some strength. But in the third round, I still think that Trevon Wallace was a good pick. In the fourth round, they got a steal with Jatavion Sanders out of Texas. This was a really terrific, talented tight end that fell to the fourth round. There has to be more to this guy. Off the field, he must have not interviewed well because he's got speed, size, hands, and can block. And he was the highest graded tight end in college football last year. So I think if this guy has his head on straight, I mean, there's probably things that we don't know. This guy's going to be very good for the Carolina Panthers. It's a steal in the fourth round. In the fifth round, 157, Shea Smith-Wade out of Washington State. He's a corner. This draft was heavy in corners. Great depth. They really got a great value with this kid. You know, they traded Dante Jackson in the offseason. So we'll see if that's going to open up Smith-Wade for some playing time. But I think that you're going to see him as a starter, possibly, for the Carolina Panthers right away. In the sixth round, pick 200, defensive lineman Jaden Clumley out of Mississippi State. This is not a guy that I did any research on for my defensive line breakdown. So everything I have is based on post-draft stuff that I'm looking at for Carolina. No pass rush at all, but he's solid against the run, according to everything I'm reading. The guy has great size, but to me, this is just a depth defensive line pick in the sixth round, which, I mean, how could you go wrong? In the seventh round at 240, linebacker Michael Barrett out of Michigan, very well-coached linebacker. I thought this guy would go way higher, and I feel like they stole him. I think that he is a good against the run, good against the pass. I think he's a solid linebacker. I absolutely think that Michael Barrett makes the Carolina roster better. I think he makes the team even as a seventh round draft pick. It's insane that he lasted to the seventh round with his production and his coaching pedigree. So going through the Carolina Panthers, Leggett is a good pick at 32. Jonathan Brooks, if he's healthy, I still think he went high at 46, but he's a starter in the NFL. So between those first two picks, they got starters. Trevon Wallace is a possible starter. I think he needs to add some size and some strength, but I think he's a fast sideline-to-sideline linebacker who needs to play the run better, needs to be more physical, because right now I think he's more of a finesse player. Fourth-round draft pick, Jadeveon Sanders, is a steal. Carolina absolutely stole him, and I think that he's going to be a star for Carolina. Smith-Wade out of Washington State, the corner, he might start for them because I think he had a lot of starts in college. He's a gritty player. I think Crumley and Barrett, I think Barrett has a chance also to crack into the rotation. Crumley, I think, is more of a backup that he's going to work his way into some type of rotation. Overall, I really think that Carolina adding possibly three starters, maybe three and a half starters, whether I agree with the picks or not, these guys are going to start on their team. So Carolina didn't do a bad job. I felt like Carolina, I just don't know what direction they're doing. So they draft a quarterback, number one overall, no offensive lineman. They got a great left tackle, nothing to speak of as wide receivers, until Xavier Leggett, nothing to speak of anywhere on the offensive side of the ball. So do I feel like they improved by getting a top wide receiver and a top running back? I guess they did what was best on the board for them, and then they stole a tight end. So we'll see. It's just kind of me ho-hum for Carolina draft. The New Orleans Saints, which, as you know, I absolutely hate, wish they would lose their franchise. I think they're all piles of poop. But I'm going to review it because, you know, the Saints they drafted extremely well. And the reason why I say they drafted extremely well is because they drafted a lot of guys with off-the-field problems, a lot of guys that were hard to coach, and a lot of the guys that did things off the field that make the New Orleans Saints. So congratulations to the New Orleans Saints to be able to look into the draft and find people that are probably going to need some guidance and some help to be good human beings in the NFL. But, I mean, that's a knack for the Saints. They know how to pick these guys. They pick talented guys who are just not good people or are still growing up or lack maturity, and they just have a really great way of doing that. Their first-round draft pick, 14 overall, Talisi Fugaga out of Oregon State, is a tackle, very physical, plays with an attitude. That's a good pick, right? He really fits into the physical style of the Saints. And then in the second round, pick 41, Kool-Aid McKinstry. I talked about him. He had some off-the-field stuff. He has a reputation of being lazy in practice, mouthing off to coaches. Fits right in with the New Orleans Saints. Is a talented corner with some off-the-field stuff. And then they draft Spencer Rattler, the quarterback, in the fifth round, which is a steal talent-wise. There's a reason why he fell to the fifth round. It's because he's a very entitled person who did not interview well in the NFL. That's just all I've read, is this guy has an attitude problem. So now he's a Saint. So congratulations, Saints. You found another guy that's super talented with an attitude problem. So I feel like they stole him in the fifth round at pick 150. Spencer deserved to be a third-round draft pick. That's where he deserved to be, maybe possibly bottom of the second, based on his talent. This guy could end up actually being a NFL starter that they got in the fifth round. Good luck with his personality. If you didn't watch the Netflix special, it doesn't matter because he was so young. I don't care about that. I care about how he interviewed with the coaching staff, and there was like no positive reviews about this guy. So, you know, maybe he just continues to mature and grow up, but anything's going to be in New Orleans, because New Orleans is not the environment for like a Kool-Aid McKinstry and a Spencer Rattler to really mature. Wide receiver Bub Means out of Pittsburgh, another guy, you know, that's a very decent player, fifth round pick. I thought, you know, he had 16 receptions of 15 yards or plus, which I think is really a quality deal. I think that he's a interesting guy. Again, Bub Means is a guy that's had off the field stuff. In the fifth round, they picked Jalen Ford out of Texas. This guy, I absolutely love him as a linebacker. He's one of those guys that just shuts down the run. Solid physical linebacker, definitely fits the Saints defense. He's going to struggle in coverage, obviously, which is why he fell to the fifth round. But this guy is a physical, mean linebacker, played at a great school at Texas, is going to come in and steal some rotation snaps on first down, probably in New Orleans. It's going to fit right in with their mentality. Sixth round, it's an interior defensive lineman, Christian Boyd out of Northern Iowa. Not much I know about Boyd. You know, sometimes I don't go to sixth or seventh round for guys, but he's got great size. He's 325 pounds. Northern Iowa. He had an 88 grade in his last season. I don't know what the competition level is at Northern Iowa, but at least he has an opportunity to make an NFL roster and try to work himself into the back end of rotation or be a special teams player. But 325 is not really going to be running up and down the field. But he's a guy that run stops, good size. We'll see if he can make the jump or he's a practice squad player. In the seventh round, 239 overall tackle, Josiah Zerum out of Eastern Kentucky. So this is a guy that, you know, allowed no sacks his senior year, which is pretty incredible, over 467 pass blocking snaps. Had one of the highest grades as an offensive lineman, if you believe in that PFF stuff. What's really interesting about this guy is his size and his versatility. He did play at Eastern Kentucky. There's a developmental issue here, but there's enough here that this guy actually could make the team because of how much help the New Orleans Saints need on the offensive line. Here's a guy that could be a backup and work his way in as a future starter. Just based on everything I've seen, this is one of those Jason Light small school guys that can actually play. But if you look at the value that they got with Fuaga, which is a solid starter, Kool-Aid's going to start for them. Spencer Rattler in the fifth round is a very interesting. He's a much better player than a fifth round pick, so he's going to send the pitch. Bub Means is a guy. Maybe he contributes. Maybe he doesn't. His rookie year, Jalen Ford will contribute. I think he gets into the rotation. Christian Boyd in the sixth round, he'll work his way into as a backup interior lineman, and then Jose Zerum out of Eastern Kentucky is a developmental tackle. But overall, the Saints got I think two starters out of the draft, but. And, you know, you're going to say, well, Sean Carolina got three or four. I just think the Saints, you know what they're looking for as a Saint. And that's not a compliment to the Saints fans because you guys suck too. I'm basically saying that the reason why the Saints continue to have some success is because they have a vision of what their team looks like and they continue to draft players into that vision, which are usually felons and domestic violence and you know, just very immature people, which kind of fits the city and fits the fans and fits New Orleans. So congratulations on that. But you did get two starters. One is going to be a devastating tackle for you, I have no doubt. I think Kool-Aid is going to struggle in man, which is what he struggled at Alabama, and we'll see how well he does there. But that's recapping the NFC South. This is our competition, guys. The Falcons and the Panthers and the Saints, I don't think they did anything, and I mean anything in the draft compared to make them jump over us as defending champions of the NFC South. So check out my next podcast. We're going to be breaking down all through the NFC. I'm going to shoot through these once a week, give you guys some content on the draft until it's done, and then we're going to break down the mini camps, and then hopefully it'll be time for preseason, which will be very exciting. You know, this year is so amazing. Fans of rookies like myself can't wait to do it. I was going to tell you wanted to wish a happy birthday to Allie, very good friend of mine. Her and her husband are very close friends of us, and she just had her birthday. So happy birthday, Allie. And then please visit us at BillCurryFord.com. See all of our summer specials with June. Take a vacation from high prices, take a vacation from payments, and take a vacation from interest rates. We can defer your payments. We can pay your first three payments. We can give you up to 130% of your trade. But please visit the Giant. Right now, we are setting records in inventory. If you haven't seen the facility, just wait. I'm going to be able to advertise some of the most cutting-edge 4K drone footage, where I'm going to make an experience where the customer from home can see what everything is like, and then you can buy and sell from home, or you can do your service with mobile service, pick up and delivery, or you can come and see our amazing facility. Follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Instagram, Facebook, and X. Again, I'll see you guys next time. I hope you enjoyed the best 30 minutes in NFL football. Thank you, Steve and Joe, Bucks fan. See you guys next time.